congratulations on the Annie Awards nominations for your show. I want to start off with that.
Thank you.
We're so excited.
You're welcome. How did you get the news initially?
I got a tweet. I think that's how I saw it. And then my husband started texting me, telling me, and I was so excited. And I didn't know it was for A Day to Remember until I came into the office. So, and that was even, I was like, oh my God, that's the first one I wrote. So I was pretty excited about that.
That's fantastic.
I think that's how everyone finds out about things now, is social media.
Wow, that's really interesting. That wouldn't have happened 5 or 10 years ago at all.
No, not at all. I don't know how you would have found out. What, would you have gotten a newspaper? No, I mean, maybe someone would have emailed you, or you would have checked if you had known that that was the day. But yeah, it's one of the interesting things about the times now, is that you will find out because someone else found out first and then tweeted it or, you know, pinged you.
Right. Wow.
So Sophia the First has been huge for the last 4 years on Disney Channel. And how did you decide we want to do this spin-off series, this series that's basically in the same universe with Elena of Avalor?
Well, you know, while I was working on Sophia, you know, she comes into contact with all the classic Disney princesses. Mm. And so I was writing scenes with Belle and with Ariel and all these big Disney princesses. And I was starting to think about, you know, the need for a Latina princess, and that there hadn't been one. And so we started thinking about how we could do one in Sophia, but then we quickly realized that it was a big enough idea for its own series. Mm-hmm. And so since we already had this sort of extended Disney universe, I thought it would be cool to create, you know, this new princess and this new series in the same universe as Sophia.
Yeah,
and I got to mention my mother's a big Tim Gunn fan, so she loved the fact she was watching some of the episodes of Sophia just to hear Tim Gunn, which she appreciated.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We still get you still see tweets where people are like, I can't. Was that Tim Gunn in Sophia the First? And it's been 4 years. He's such a great guy. Just personally, one of the nicest people you could work with, and so charming and so generous with his time and his talent. And he brings so much to that role. And in fact, that role was only offered to him.
Wow.
It was kind of created for him.
Really?
It was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, the character was written, but then as just Bailiwick. But then as we were discussing who could play Bailiwick, yeah. Jamie Mitchell, the director and my fellow executive producer on Sophia, was like, well, what about Tim Gunn? And we're like, oh my gosh, it's
genius.
Like perfect.
Yeah.
And luckily he said yes.
So what were some of the values of the other classic Disney princesses? Because Beauty and the Beast is my favorite movie of all time.
Mine too. Yes. I was asked that question before, and I was like, Belle, for sure. I love the fact that she loves her father so much, and family means so much to her. And she loves to read. Mm. She's my favorite.
So what were some of the values of the other Disney princesses that you infused into Elena of Avalor?
Well, you know, coming onto the show is pretty daunting because you have this whole Disney legacy, all these princesses, and you're trying to meet that expectation and hopefully go a little further and keep going. And so what I love about Disney is they always have heart in all of the movies. I love that Belle, for example, loves her family. Elena loves her familia. And she looks at her kingdom as an extension of her family. So that's a big one for me. And also the importance of family, of community and friendship. Mm. It was big.
And we're in this room, and there's a wall here of all the different dresses that she has. Coming up with the different outfits, the different dresses must be wonderful to do and to see that on screen.
Well, it's one of the things that you don't realize, you know, being in animation, writing characters, writing stories, and then you decide to do a show about a Disney princess and suddenly you're a fashion designer. This is where I wish Tim Gunn was here in LA instead of New York. Because you suddenly have to make decisions about gowns and accessories and necklaces and earrings, and it's really fun. Because, you know, it's a whole nother world to learn. And you start looking into the world of fashion and just being very creative. And luckily we have artists who are fantastic that help us create all these outfits. Mm.
Have you ever used kids as focus groups as far as the different outfits or some of the episodes or anything like that?
Well, we do write storybooks for several episodes. So what we'll do is we write the outline for the episode, and then we turn it into a storybook even before we go to script. Wow. And we actually go to schools and we read the storybooks to the kids and see what they like, what they didn't understand, what resonated with them, and a lot of times they'll say, I like her necklace, her belt, her shoes, and we're like, yes, nailed it.
I mean, and we have children, so that's also a focus group. You know, my boys always ask me what story I was working on today, and so I'm forced to pitch them the story in a very limited amount of time, and I see how they react to it.
Yeah, my son actually pitched me an idea, and I wrote it, and we're doing it.
Mm.
Yeah, so...
Wait, what?
Remember, Curse of Anne Waffle.
Oh, do we have to pay him for that?
Yeah. He's wondering if he should get a credit.
Right, I was going to say, story credit, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be funny. It's only been on a few months, but you already got a second season renewal, which is fantastic. That must be like a big sigh of relief from all the hard work.
Absolutely. I mean, that's you definitely don't want to be one and done. And especially when you have a big, giant story plan. You know, with Elena, one of the great things we're getting to do is tell the story of this young woman who becomes crown princess because she's not old enough to be queen. And so she has to rule with the help of this grand council until she comes of age. And so we've sort of track this story. We have a story that will last, hopefully, the length of the show that goes from her, you know, starting out being sworn in as crown princess to her coronation, you know, if she can make it there. And so getting a second season was a big part of being able to tell that story. So it was great for the crew who's worked so hard to get that kind of reassurance. And I'm thrilled for the audience because we've, you know, it's gotten an audience very quickly. And I'm really thrilled that we're going to be able to continue the story into season two.
That's great. All right. One of the big things I want to ask you guys about, you had an episode recently, an hour-long episode with the legendary Jane Fonda.
She was really enthusiastic about being an animated character. And she was such a professional from the, you know, she's one of the legends of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I think she came up in a time where you showed up and you hit your mark and you worked with the directors. And so... just every take, she was like, how was that? You know, and was open to direction and was fantastic to work with. And you heard her voice, so you know she could deliver the goods.
Okay.
And, you know, it was a real highlight of the season.
That's fantastic. All right, can you share some secrets, upcoming episode, upcoming details, exclusives?
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, there are
a lot of
things coming up in store. I think you just recently saw that... Esteban has a dark secret, cousin Esteban, that he, you know, betrayed the royal family. That's a spoiler alert, I guess, for people that haven't seen the big movie. But someone's going to show up from his past who actually knows this secret and threatens to expose him to everyone. So that'll be an interesting turn in the story. And then later on in the year, we, you know, the Flying Jaguars, they're Jaquins, and we're going to discover that they come from their own magical realm. And Elena's going to get to visit that realm. So you heard it here first.
All right, we've got exclusives. I want to ask you also about the music, because you have some songs in the show. How important are the songs as far as enhancing the story?
They're extremely important. I mean, if you watch any Disney... we look at Elena like every episode's a mini feature, and we want to make it look like that. The music has to be just like the Disney songs and Disney features. So they have to push story. So if we were to pull out that song... the story would be missing, or they have to push character. Like we see a character feel one way here, and then another way by the end of the song. So they're extremely, extremely important. And I never wrote a song in my life, and when I started the show, Craig told me you have to write the songs, the lyrics for your episodes. And so I had to do the Day of the Dead song. And so it was crazy because I wanted it to be so exciting and upbeat. Yeah. And he's like, a happy song about death? Are you serious? But we ended up writing it together. And he's an Emmy Award winner for music. So it was great to work with him on my first song.
You know, music is one of the ways that you can really show the Latino culture that you know, we're trying to depict. And so it's such a rich field, so many genres. And so it's great to be able to go in each week and do a different type of music, whether it's merengue or salsa, And it's not just Latin music. We have other styles too. I think, you know, we have Titus Burgess plays a rock volcano monster who sings a big R&B number like an Otis Redding tune. But what's really, really great is to, you know, expose audiences to all these different styles of Latin music and in a very Disney way. You know, I love music. I've been a fan of music all my life. I was a college radio DJ. And so I always love learning about new styles of music, and it's also fun to get to write lyrics for them and then task our songwriter with trying to write a song in these different styles.
And he's cool. Great. John Cavanaugh, he does the music. He's fantastic. I'm always excited. We give him the lyrics. I'm like, what is he going to do with it? And it always comes back. Blowing my mind.
Yeah, I mean, and he always sings his own demos, so you know, it's fine when he's writing a bossa nova because he can, you know. But then you sit there and okay, now you're going to do a reggaeton song and you're going to have to rap this section,
and he does it.
He puts his heart into it, which I love.
That's great.
I was at the Mickey and the Roadster Racers event, Fathom Events did a couple of weeks ago, and Elena of Avalor was part of it, and Sophia the First, and all the kids that were in the theater, and there were probably 200 kids at least, on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and they were totally into it. They were totally into everything, not just the Mickey show, but when Elena came on and Sophia came on. So congrats on everything, guys, really. Congrats.
You know, when we started, it was Craig and I and another writer in this room. There was nothing on the walls, and this is 2014 in this room. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, here we go. And so to be here today and actually see all this and the world that was created and all the amazing people that came onto the show really blows my mind. So the story like that you just told us really, it makes me a little emotional.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
And this must be such a fun place to work at, by the way. Just walking through the lobby, seeing all the posters and the signs, you just want to stop and look at everything. My gosh.
I think the crew is just as excited as that audience that you saw, you know, at the screening.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, everyone is really thrilled to be working on a show that they, you know, think is going to make a difference and doing something new and things that haven't been done before. And so everyone comes to work with a great attitude and a lot of great ideas. So it's a blast actually to work with them. It's a great crew.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate this.
Thank you, Jackson. Yeah, it's been great talking to you.